Why don't we look to the Lord once again in prayer? Ask His Spirit to speak to us according to His will this evening. We do thank You, Father, that the privilege is ours to be here. We thank You for who You are. We thank You for what You reveal concerning Yourself. We thank You for Your Word, the truth. I thank You, Lord, that throughout Your Word, You have examples of faithful individuals to be not only a challenge to our lives, but to encourage us in our walk. And I pray that You would speak to us this evening through the one that we look at, one who is in Your presence. We pray that we might honor You in what is said and done. In Your name I pray, amen. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis, chapter 5. Is it Kayla or is it Emily that's writing a title down? Kayla Jean. To Walk with God, part one. To Walk with God. When we think about the topic of walking with God, do we really know what that entails? Do we have any comprehension? We have the example here in Genesis chapter 5 of a man of whom it is recorded that he walked with God. That has been a thought-provoking challenge to me for many, many years to stop to consider, what does that mean? We're looking at Genesis chapter 5, and I want us to look at verses 21 to 24. And in this fifth chapter, it starts out verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. And then it starts in verse 3 that Adam lived so many years, and he begat a son after his own likeness, and he called his name Seth. And then as you go through the chapter, you find, well, Seth lived so many years, and then he begot so and so. And you find this right through this fifth chapter until we come to verse 21. And it tells us that Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Well, already we have something of interest, don't we? With the name Enoch, there's things that come to our mind concerning what is recorded about him, but I saw at least one person smile. With the name Methuselah, what comes to your mind? What do we remember about Methuselah? He was old. I'm old. Oldest man. I don't think I'm there yet. Some days I feel like it. But Methuselah has the recognition of having the greatest number of years of any other person recorded in Scripture. Now, it's interesting that even Enoch's father, whose name was Jared, lived 962 years and then he died. But Methuselah outdid him by how many years? Seven. 969 years. So we find that Enoch lived, he was a young fella, 65 years old. You know, when you live 900 years, I guess at age 65, seems kind of young, doesn't it? Seems kind of old to me, but anyway, he was 65 years old when his wife had Methuselah. And then it tells us, verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. In case you haven't figured it out, there are many names that are not recorded in this genealogy. You might have picked it up way back a few minutes ago when we started out. Did you notice something unusual when I made reference to Adam and how that his child's name was what? Did you notice it was neither Cain nor Abel, but it was whom? Seth is the godly line. And this is the list of the godly ones. And that's why after Methuselah was born and Enoch walked with God 300 years, how many sons and daughters did he have? And what were their names? We don't know. And the Lord said, it's not that important. I know who they were. And they're not in the line that this bloodline, the godly ones that we're following anyway. So, Methuselah was not an only child. We don't know how many brothers, how many sisters, but we do know that he had. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Interesting, isn't it, the way the scripture puts that? Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Wow. What an account. You know, at first glance, as we center our attention this evening on this man, Enoch, there's not a lot of information here about him, is it? Where are we going to go? Well, there are other things that we can look at as we look at this unusual character. Before we move elsewhere, there are some things that I just ask myself, and I really do not have the answer for, but why don't we just throw out some questions and maybe you have the answer and you can tell me afterward. Well, Pastor, the answer is such and such. I'd appreciate that. But I'll just throw out some things that I don't know. For instance, between verse 21, when he lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and verse 22, when it says that he walked with God after that child was born for 300 years, the first thing that comes to my mind is what happened to bring about this change with Enoch? Is this to suggest to us that the first 65 years of his life he did not walk with God? I don't know. It doesn't say that he did. It just says that after his son Methuselah was born, it was the next 300 years was the rest of his life he walked with God. And so I asked myself, what happened to bring that change about, that Moses, as he records the scriptures, would say it the way he did? Obviously something happened. It was noteworthy that after Methuselah was born, he walked with God. Second question I have. What influenced this man to walk with God? What was it that influenced him? What was it that put that thought, that suggestion in his mind? The importance of having such a relationship with God that the Holy Spirit would have inspired here the words, he walked with God. It's mentioned twice, verse 22 and verse 24. Who or what influenced him to walk with God? I wrote a question down and just a suggestion. I wondered if it could have been his great, 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 great grandfather. Anybody know who that might be? Well, you look in chapter 5 and you'll discover that that was none other than Adam. Adam was still alive at the time. When you do the math and you, it's a very interesting thing to sit down and chart out their lives. Chart it out, and you can see, if I did my math right, Adam was about 622 years old when Enoch was born. About. You know, if we're talking hundreds of years old, he was about 622. And Enoch was born and lived, Adam lived about another 308 years after Enoch was born. So maybe it was his 1, 2, 3, 4 great-grandpa that he was able to spend time with. I don't know, just a thought. Surely Adam could have had some tremendous truth to share with a great, 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 great grandson if they lived nearby. Just think of the stories that Adam could have told his offspring and those descendants of his. Wow. You look at some of that and you get just a little bit envious, don't you? That you didn't have the chance to sit down and get acquainted and just hear some of those truths, some of the lessons, some of the things that God had taught. Well, we can't say for certain. We don't know the answers, but it is interesting, I think, to consider. One thing that we can say for sure, while others of his generation, it seems, were just content to live their lives and die, Enoch chose to walk with God. Though his contemporaries were not doing that, they were just living, going to work, raising a family, eking out a living, whatever it may be, and dying. And we don't find others of whom it was. There was something different with Enoch. Enoch made a choice that others of his generation didn't make. And that is that God was of such importance to him that he began to draw alongside of God. He began to meditate on the things of God. He began to become acquainted with God. He began to accept God's will and God's direction for his life. So that on two occasions, verse 22 and verse 24, we discover that it is said that this man walked with God. You know, if you walk with someone, it goes perhaps without saying, it means that you are doing what? You are going in the same direction that the one with whom you are walking is going. And I believe that's part of the significance of what does it mean to walk with God? To have the same plans, to have the same thoughts, to be willing to accept his leadership and to agree to go in the same path, on the same pace that God is going. Another thing that I think that we can be sure of, alongside the fact that Enoch was different, he wasn't like everybody else, that he had made a choice. I'm going to walk with God. I want to find out what God wants for my life. I want to find out, how can I please him? How can I serve him? How can I know him? He walked with God. Second thing, I think it's safe that we could say, while his relationship with God, walking with him, was not hindered by the rigors of raising a family. Well, what's the importance of that? Sadly, it seems that many times people use the excuse of their families, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't serve, and I can't lead, and I can't participate because of my family. But it tells us that Enoch walked with God for 300 years after Methuselah. I'm assuming that was his firstborn was born, and he had other children. And family life did not take the priority. The things of God was Enoch's priority. What a lesson. What a challenge for us. What a godly example. For 300 years, family was not an excuse for laxity. Is this all we can learn about this man? I don't think so. We're thankful for Genesis chapter 24, which introduces us to the man, but this is not the only place we find him. And I am not sure whether in my absence from the pulpit, Brother Odell spoke on Enoch when he was in Hebrews chapter 11 or not. If he did, I'm sure he didn't say the same thing I'm going to. But turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and we find in verses 5 and 6, there are some other things concerning this man as we are looking at tonight what it means to walk with God. Hebrews chapter 11, and in that 11th chapter, we find in verses 5 and 6 this account. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found. Just truth of the matter is, one day he just flat disappeared off of the face of the earth. He was gone. And we know what happened to him. God took him. That's where it says. He walked with God and he was not, for God took him. And here the writer of Hebrews says he was not found because God translated him from earth to glory instantaneously. For before his translation, some would say, why? Why did that happen? Before God did that, he had this testimony. And we're told that the word testimony means here witness or record. This was the record concerning this man. He had this testimony that he pleased God. There's another key to what does it mean to walk with God? To walk with God means that my life is pleasing to God. That I am living my life in a manner that my Heavenly Father is, he accepts. It is something that is honoring to him. It is something that fits God's will for the life of the individual. And we see that before God took him, this was the characteristic of it. He pleased God. Wouldn't that be great if that could be written alongside your name and mine? Why? He pleased God. She pleased God. Now we know that there are none righteous, no, not one, in ourselves, don't we? So we're not going to even interject the suggestion that, well, you know, he was just something special. Evidently that sin nature hadn't tainted him. No, he was a sinner. He possessed the sin nature, just like you and I. But by faith, he drew alongside of God. By faith, his heart was quickened and he realized that here is the answer to life. God is who and what I need. I need to draw close to him. I need to look to him. I need to commune with him. And so we see that he had this testimony that he pleased God. Well, how did that happen? It wasn't his personality, as I just said. It wasn't that he didn't have as much of a sin nature, but it was Enoch was a man who had faith in God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we see in verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated. Why? Because he had this testimony. He was a man of faith, genuine faith in the things of the Lord. Oh, so we are learning some things about this man, aren't we? We are seeing more than what we discovered there in Genesis chapter 5. As we look at these two verses, we learn that whatever else it meant to walk with God in Enoch's life, it surely meant that he was, number one, a man of faith. He knew God. He sought after God, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Enoch was no atheist. He believed in God. He must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he knew God, he believed God. And this was evidence of this is seen not only here, not only by the fact that Enoch, it says he walked with God in Genesis and he was not, and the writer of Hebrews reiterates that again and highlights him as one of these heroes of the faith. But we find that there is more that we can see recorded about this man if we turn elsewhere in Scripture. We started in Genesis 5, we've moved to Hebrews 11, but I invite you to turn to the third location, and that is in Jude, that little epistle, Jude. What chapter? There's only one chapter. You don't say chapter such and such of Jude, you say verse, because there is only the one chapter. And in Jude verses 14 and 15, we find something else about this man. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. Seven generations down the line, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince or convict all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. I wonder if the Lord at that point, or the translators, got tired of writing the word ungodly. It's interesting, isn't it, that you find it so many times there in that 15th verse. So what do we see here about a man who demonstrated what it is to walk with God? He believed God. He knew God. He lined up his life in line with and was moving in the same direction as God was. And here in Jude verses 14 and 15, we see that not only did he walk with God, but he served God. He was a prophet. He prophesied to his generation. He prophesied of God's judgment against all the ungodly of his generation for all of their words and deeds. Now, in the context here, it speaks of the Lord's second coming. When the Lord comes to judge the world, and by faith, Enoch was a voice that prophesied of a time that this world hasn't even seen yet. How could he do that? By faith. Because he was God's man, because God had revealed to him this precious truth. To look at this text, we learn about Enoch's generation, verse 15. They were ungodly people. They were guilty of ungodly actions. They were guilty of uttering ungodly words against the Lord. You find that in verse 15. But Enoch had a message from the Lord, and he spoke against the wickedness of it. As we think about this in summary, his walk with God was an ongoing thing, evidently for those 300 years after Methuselah was born. His walk with God and family life coincided rather than clashed. He was a man of faith and a man who walked with God, but he was also a father. And he had family life. His walk with God was a walk of faith, we saw in Hebrews chapter 11. His walk with God went on in the midst of an ungodly generation. He was not ashamed to live his godly life in the face of his contemporaries. And his walk of God and his walk with God was a testimony against the wicked ones and a warning of judgment yet to come. Wow. Isn't that great to stop and think about this man? We read that in Genesis chapter 5 and it tweaks our interest. You know, here was a man by the name of, wow, wasn't that something? Wasn't that something? The first one that's recorded was taken to glory, did not pass through the valley of the shadow of death. God just took him. And what an example to believers down through the ages this man has been. I trust an encouragement to you. Here's a question for you. Is Enoch the only man of whom it is recorded in Scripture that he walked with God? No. And we'll look at part two next week of another man of whom it was said that he walked with God. There's much more recorded concerning him, and some of you know of whom I'm referring. If not, check it out. And we'll see you next week, Lord willing, as we continue. Let's stand and be dismissed with prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the life and testimony of this godly man, of those early generations. We thank you, Lord, in the midst of a time when individuals were not making those choices. For whatever reason, Enoch chose to walk with you. How we thank you for his life and testimony. May we be encouraged by the truth we've seen concerning him. May we, according to your grace, according to your will, not only have the desire, but may we be found faithfully walking with you. In your name we pray. Amen. And you are dismissed.